I've learned to enjoy a game of basketball. It's something I didn't play when I was young, but I learned it when I was older. My children didn't want to play baseball. I thought I'd have to teach them to hit home runs. They didn't care about hitting home runs or grand slams, and so I started bouncing basketball and learned the game of basketball and just play a little bit, and we enjoy some of that up here as well. But in a game of basketball, a game can be won by good rebounding skills. In other words, missed shots can be reclaimed and you can shoot again. So good basketball shooters are usually around 50%. And with good rebounding skills, the ball can be kept in the team's possession and you can get another chance to shoot again. So your chances go up a lot if you can rebound the ball and reclaim the shots that you miss. Michael Jordan was known as one of the best clutch shooters in the history of NBA, and he shot a 49.7%. He actually missed more shots in his career than he made. Yet in spite of all those missed shots, we do not consider him a failure, but rather look at him as one who was not afraid to take shots. And him and his team apparently were good at rebounding and coming back again after a missed shot. Brian Fox, I remember him. He's a coach at Fairview for many years. And one of the things that I remember him saying often to his players, always follow your shot. And when someone shoots and just stands there, he would always correct them, often correct them, follow your shot. And the reason you should follow your shot after you shoot, many times it'll come right back to you again. And I watch that and I'm amazed that, yeah, sometimes it hits the rim and pew, right back, you're right lined up. Sometimes it goes the other way. But many times, if you follow your shot, you'll have the chance to reclaim the ball and try again. This proves one thing that I want to open up in the sermon this morning. It's not the number of mistakes you make in life that defines who you are, but rather what you do after you make a mistake that matters the most. Now, some parts of this sermon you might be saying, I'm just lifting up failure and mistakes and sin, and just go out there and sin and learn how to come back again. That's not the point, but if we're all honest, what I really want to do is just create a level of honesty and transparency in our lives, and we all can, if we're honest and open about our lives, we make mistakes. We're not without sin, and we do not have the ability. Some may say we do have the ability if we follow God every time in our life, and that's true. God's power in us, yes, is powerful. If we yield to Him and follow Him and listen to Him every time, yeah, we can live above sin every time, but we have this flesh to deal with, and we have this humanity that's real, and we have this struggle in life, and we live in a broken world where it's not only sin, but it's difficulties in life that we want to look at, open up, and encourage all of us to be good at rebounding in our spiritual lives and coming out of difficult situations better than what we were before, coming out of a mistake better and stronger than what we were before, coming out of tragedies in life, whatever it might be, stronger and better. And that's really who we want to be, and that's what I want to emphasize this morning. What do you do in life when you make a mistake, or you hurt someone, or someone hurts you, or when you mess up or fall into sin, or you do something that you wish you didn't, what do you do in times like this? You can turn to Proverbs 24, verse 16, for our theme verse. Very short, but I want to use this verse and build upon this verse in the sermon. It says in Proverbs 24, 16, it says, "For a just man," or a good righteous man, "falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." Very short and simple verse, but I want to build upon this and try to open up this verse. And hopefully we all can come to this and personalize this in our lives and be encouraged. If you fall, or if you have a difficulty in life, or if you have a setback in life, or if you have something that's very difficult to rise above, the just man is not exempt from these experiences. And I believe they rise way above from falling into sin. I believe we can make this practical in many ways. And I want to compare the missed shots to some of these examples that we go through in life in our spiritual lives. Using the game of basketball as an analogy to help us understand our spiritual lives and our walk with God a little better. Falling seven times, I don't know what you think about when you think of falling seven times. I don't like falling at all. But falling seven times is depressing, but getting up and becoming stronger is encouraging. And that's what we want to focus on, highlight, is the getting up again and rising above failures and mistakes and whatever it is in our lives. Missed shots can be compared to hurts and wounds received by others, abusive family members or friends, words said to us or actions of others that are hurtful and harmful. It can be compared to setbacks in life, anything that blocks your progress in life, some things that are very difficult, maybe illness, financial setbacks, a calling from God when God intervenes in your life, or it can be many examples in relation to setbacks in life, tragedies we experience, a death of a child. Just had the privilege this week to attend a family reunion, and my cousin Twyla was sharing their experience of losing a son at a young age. Her husband is a truck driver, and they were on a trip down in Florida, I believe it was in Florida, and they were having the time of their life, the vacation of their life. It was such a looked forward to experience, and I don't know all the details, but the son walked out and his dad was backing up the truck and didn't see him and backed over him and killed him. And she was just sharing her experience of overcoming that, and it was good just to listen to a tragedy and how long it took for her to overcome and get back to what was considered a normal. And right at this time, we are all aware of the Zimmerman family who had two sons that drowned in the pond. We were sharing about that, and she said, "I will talk." She connected right with it. She said, "I'd be glad to go talk to her." She could just connect with the pain, and you know, you need help through some of those tragedies in life to respond properly, to think right, connect with God, and become stronger. And that was her testimony. She had a deep struggle for several years after that experience, but now she just wants to share. There's people that get together that have those experiences, and there's just this connection right away. When someone loses a son like that, she wants to help and wants to talk and And so tragedies in life, we are not exempt from them as well. And sins committed, mistakes we make, if we yield to sin or whatever it is that we learn to rise above and rebound some choices we make that are not good, or it can be many applications we could make to these missed shots, falling. How well do we rebound from all these setbacks in life? When these things happen to you and to us, what happens to you inside? It is not the external things that happen to you that destroy you, but is how you respond. It is how you allow them to impact your heart that matters, and the mindset that you have. And that may be a following sermon, is the mind and how we think and patterns of thinking that really can hinder growth and freedom. Freedom and growth come when we embrace our failures and learn from them and speak the truth about them. And I'm going to just share one in my life that I look back on, and it was something that was difficult for me to overcome. When I was in first grade in school, I still to this day don't know exactly what I was doing, or I got my books upside down, and my teacher must have told me several times, and so she decided she was going to teach me a lesson. And she took me in front of the class and stood me on my head. And everyone was laughing, but I was not. And it took a long time to overcome the fear of standing before people. And I had a very strong fear that developed, and I look back to that experience. In my heart, I know I was not trying to be mischievous, and in my heart, I know I was daydreaming. I don't know what I was doing, but that was my experience. And it was something that I had to face older in life. I didn't have many privileges to speak in front of people, and I had to overcome that, and the Lord helped me overcome that. And it maybe seems like a small thing, but to me it was huge. And some of you have had other things in your lives that are huge and create difficulties to come out of them. And I hope I can say that I came out of that. That teacher is no longer living, and I didn't become bitter towards her, but it was just something that everyone laughing at you, standing on your head in front of your class, is just not the best experience a first grader can have. But God, in all His sovereignty, allowed that to happen, and some of those things are real in our lives. And it is how we respond to them. Sometimes it takes a long time. Tragedies sometimes take a long time to recover from and rise above. But God helps us, and if we follow God, and if we understand what God is doing in our lives, and we respond properly, we can become stronger. We can become better. We can become, we can learn from these experiences. So to embrace failure or mistakes, there are three ways that we can learn in life. You can learn, and maybe there's more, but there's three primary ways that we learn. We learn from our mistakes. We learn from the mistakes of others. And that's less expensive if we can learn from others and watch others. And we can, see how they respond. And maybe they're sharing their experience, and they're sharing how they respond, and they're sharing their mistake. And we can learn from it and teach others. And that's one way we can help others too. Sharing, you know, we understand that all of us are going through these things, and we suddenly do not feel alone in these things. And the other third way we learn is from reading and study. So we can get the books and go online and we can research things and we can learn that way. Experience is always the best teacher when we learn and then we go out and put into practice what we have learned. So we must see failure or mistakes we make as a teacher. And again, going back to what Brian Fox says, follow your shot. You can make that many applications in your own spiritual life as well. When you make a mistake or you wish you did better, just follow your shot and you get another chance. And you can rise above and you can do better the next time, or you can make a better choice, or you can see mistakes in life as a teacher. And you learn and you learn and you learn and make it a lifetime. And it's not really something that defines you as a failure, but you're rather seeing your mistakes as a teacher. God is at work in our lives, and no matter what our current situation is, God is at work in our lives. And when we understand that God's sovereign hand is over the world and every circumstance that comes into our lives first goes through the screening of God, and God says yes, and he lets it come. Some of them are hard. We wish, God, why didn't you stop this? Or where were you at? Where were you at when I was going through this? And the truth is that God allows everything. He's sovereign. So he does allow painful situations to come into our lives because he sees your ability to rebound and become stronger. Your ability to face life's challenges with the power and strength of God, and to see God at work in your life. Philippians 1:6 says, "Be confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ." He'll finish the work. And I like to picture this at the end of our life when we get to heaven and God opens up the whole story and we can see this whole plan of God that is hidden from us many times. We ask, why? Where was God? And what is the purpose of all of this? We don't understand, but God is working in our lives and he will continue to work and he will continue to perform his perfect work until the day of Jesus Christ. The sufferings of this present world, Romans says, are not even to be compared to the glory which will be in Jesus Christ. So there you see a picture of the sufferings of this life and the most difficult situations and experiences in life paling, fading away as you experience the glory. We all want the glory. We all want this glorified experience where we meet Jesus and we're glorified and all the sufferings of this past life pale and fade away, and now the glory far exceeds everything that happens. And when we understand this and we have these firm beliefs riveted and grounded in our minds, we can then look at mistakes and setbacks in life, tragedies and experiences like these as stepping stones where God is working. He's purifying our hearts, through taking us at times through the purifying fires of life. And the purifying fires do not feel good. Going through the fires, the purifying fires are going to hurt and they're going to bring us to our knees and bring tears to our eyes and many things like that. But the pure gold is what God is looking at, the pure gold. He's purifying us and he's preparing us for future glory and glory now too as well. So let's embrace failure. When we experience it, or if we experience setbacks in life, let's embrace them and see the the positive side of it, getting up again and becoming better. Being honest and assuming responsibility for our mistakes and sins is important. We don't play the blame game. We cannot play the blame game, blaming others, but we assume responsibility and honesty. Those are the two requirements in order to rise above every mistake and times of falling that we have. When we're honest and we assume responsibility, we can just be open about it. And there's a safety around the people of God, and we can build each other up and talk about some of the things that we have learned in life. Also, talking to others is just huge. The men in our support group, we did that this week, and it was just such a wonderful time. I came home just encouraged as we all just took 10 minutes to share our stories. And that was, we struggled through our lives and some of the things in life that we went through. We cannot see failure as our identity, and this is where I believe many can go wrong and fall into a time of failure that they can't come out of it. Instead of saying, "I failed," some will begin to say, "I am a failure." And they'll begin to see their failures and let it become their identity. And when you and your mind are feeling like you're a failure, there's no way to come up out of it, because your mind is so obsessed with failing and everyone laughing at you when you're standing on your head. And as long as you dwell on that, every time you're faced with that, you cripple up and you come down. But when you begin to say, "I failed, but I'm going to learn from it," people begin to say, and I've heard people say, "I'm stupid, I will never succeed, I'm ugly, I will never amount to anything." I remember mentoring a young man out of prison, and the first time I met him, I'm like, wow, he has a shaved head with a tattoo in the back of his head. And not that I judged him for that or looked at him differently, but I was always amazed what brought him to that. And when I learned to know him better, he had a very abusive, angry father who believed that his mother was unfaithful and went out with another man, and would have said to his son, "You're not my son, you have red hair." And he just couldn't come out of that. He didn't want to see his hair. And you see, that's what sometimes people do. He was believing that he's not his father is. He didn't know who his father was, because he believed a comment, an angry comment. There was also a wise coach of a football team. I believe it was football. I heard this, and I don't have all the details together, but there was a player in the game who messed up really bad. He scored a point for the other team, whether it was football or basketball, I don't remember exactly, but it was a very important game, and he scored a point for the other team. Ran across the other side, forgot which side he's supposed to score in. Now that's going to make everyone feel about ready to give up and never want to play another game again. And this wise coach at halftime brought the team together, and he said, "Look, the game is only half over. You're going in." He was so depressed and so discouraged. He didn't want to face it. He didn't want to come out again on the field. And the coach said, "You're going out into the game, and we're going to win this game. You have another chance." And he put the same players back in. They played the game, and they went on to win the game. And that is wonderful to watch a game. When a team is down 20 points or whatever, way down, almost seeming impossible, and they come back and they win a game. Well, that's basketball, but that's just a coach who believed in a person after he made a mistake. And he said, "Even though you made a terrible mistake, I believe, I know what you can do." and he went in. An unwise coach, after an important game, a loss, the next game, he told a player, one mistake you make and you're going to be sitting on a bench. I'll let you play, but the first mistake, you're on a bench. Trying to bring out the best in them, but that doesn't always work. It's okay to lose a basketball game, and it's okay to make mistakes. But when we begin to see ourselves as a failure, that's when we cannot come up out of it, when we see failure as our identity. I had an experience yesterday that I started to play the game of disc golf, and I'm new at it, and I'm starting to learn to throw disc golfs, and my brother asked me if I want to go along, and my brother Jim loves disc golf and throw in a tournament. I never threw in a tournament, and so we decided to do this, and they put players together in their divisions, 50 and older and 40 and older, pros and amateur and women's. They had a women's class or group, and so the first round is 18 holes, and they just randomly put players together in their age group. And the pros and amateurs and everything are put together. And then the second round, they go based upon your score, and then they develop a card of team of four. So they break them up in teams of three or four. So don't you know, they put me, a team of three, a card of three, with two pros. So I'm like, let me out of here. And we started on hole 17, which is the hardest one. You have a narrow path to shoot through, and you have to curve it to the left. And if you get in the woods, it's not a good thing. Trying to throw a frisbee out of briars and thick, that's something you just don't want to do. And well, I was to shoot first. And you can only imagine what I did. I threw it right into the woods, and then they're throwing it right where it's supposed to be. So I'm throwing it again into another tree, and I got five in the first round. I was just like, let me go home. And after a bit, I learned that these men are just friendly guys. After 18 holes, we just had such a good time. I overcame that a little bit. I said, you know what, we're just going to have a good time. We talked, we shared, I learned from them. I watched them. So I decided, you know what, I'm with the pros. I'm going to watch them. These guys threw frisbees for 30 years. I'm going to learn. Why don't I learn from them? So he taught me some flicks, and I started watching them, and now I got to learn how to do it. But my point is this. It's a lot about your mindset and not experiences in life. So failure can be your servant or it can be your master. If you respond wrong to some of the difficulties and embarrassing moments or mistakes you make in life, you can let that control your life as a master over you, or you can respond to that failure and let it become your servant, and it can teach you. You can learn from your mistakes. And so when you learn from your failures and mistakes in life, failure can be your servant, and you can become better and stronger by the things you do wrong or mistakes you make in life. So my encouragement to each of you this morning is discover your God-given ability to rebound from mistakes in life. God's plan for your life often come to fruition after a time of difficulty. If you're If you're in a time of difficulty, God maybe has a plan for your life. And He doesn't lay it all out before you and say, I want you here next year, and I want you here 5 years from now, and I have this coming. He doesn't tell us all those details, but His plan comes to fruition many times in Scripture. Those who are called of God, first of all, went through pain and difficulty in a time of preparing. Moses spent 40 years tending sheep. God was getting him ready for His calling. And he learned what a sheep acts like. And he learned patience and endurance, because those Israelites were a nation that were not easy to lead. And he led them out of Egypt. So God was getting him ready. And that's what he does in our lives many times. So in conclusion, I ask the question, how are you rebounding in your life? Have you had a life of difficulties that you haven't learned or responded correctly to? Have you been knocked down in certain areas that you're not able to get up again? I want to encourage each of you from the proverb 24:16, a good man falls 7 times. And if you hear everyone's heart story, we all have areas in our lives that are difficult. We make mistakes. We've failed. We yielded to sin. We've had a season of sin. And it was, yes, many times in my life that I have thought of that God was working in many ways and guiding me through life, preparing me for what was to come. We must guard against pride, the ability to admit when we have a problem, or admit when we make a mistake, or admit our wrongs and mistakes we make in life. Pride keeps us from doing that. We must guard against focusing on ourselves and trusting in ourselves to have the answer and power and ability to rise above. It's only through God, and others also will help us as we open up our lives. We must guard against making excuses for our behavior and sins that hinder us from rebounding. And we must guard against keeping hidden sins and weaknesses secretive rather than being open and transparent about who we really are. Some of those areas are hard to talk about, and I'll be the first to acknowledge that sometimes I respond wrong to some of the areas in my life that God is working on and taking me through. I'd like to sing the song. Brent, if you want to look the song up farther along, we'll know all about it. It's in the Songs of Faith and Praise, Farther Along. We sang that song at Bible Club, but it's a very good song. So why don't we all stand while prayer, and then Brent, you can come forward and you can lead us in a time of singing. We can start with that song. Father, thank you for the scripture text we looked at. A good man falls 7 times, but he rises up. And I pray that each of us would learn to be good rebounders in our spiritual lives. We live in a broken world. We live in a world that is sinful, and yes, many people are hating God and exalting sin and worldliness, and we get caught in difficult situations in life. We know there's coming a day when all this will pass and the future glory will be experienced in Christ Jesus, where all the sufferings of this life will pale and fade away, and the glory will shine, and we will live in that experience throughout an eternity. And I pray that each one of us to take this challenge here this morning, to rise higher stronger and continue growing in the Lord. Pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brent?